The Sechtes Bar Metzia, Daf Pei, the top line of Daf Pei Amud Aleph at the new Mishnah. And the Mishnah begins, Haseches Apar Lachish Bahar, if Reuven rents his cow to Shimon in order for Shimon to use it to plow a field, and they made up that Reuven was going to plow a field that was on a mountain, and Becharish Babika, and instead Shimon went and used the cow in order to plow in a valley. And Rashi explains that not only did Reuven rent the cow to Shimon, but he included all the implements and all the equipment together with the cow, and he also included the two workers that would help to plow the field. Rashi states, and his workers would also go together with the behemoth. And the job of one of the workers was to walk in front of the cow and hold the goad in order to guide the cow, in order to make sure that it goes in straight lines and it plows straight. And the other worker walks in back of the plow. And the worker's job was to make sure that the peg that was made out of iron would go deep into the ground and would properly plow the ground. And the Mishnah refers to that tool as a kankan. And the Mishnah states, in Nishba kankan potor, in this case, if the kankan would break, then Shimon, who rented the para and the equipment, would be potor and would not have to pay. And the reason is that since Shimon made up with Reuven that he would plow on a mountaintop, and as Rashi says, Shaharim Koshim Lachre Sheshlom Sham, that since there are many rocks on a mountain and it's very mountainous terrain, therefore there are a lot of rocks and it's much harder to plow, and therefore if they made up that this tool would work on a mountain, then certainly he could use it in a valley where the soil is much softer, and that's why he's putter. However, the Mishnah teaches us, Bebika Becharish Bahar, if Reuven made up with Shimon, that Shimon would use this cow and its tools and equipment to plow in a valley where the ground is softer, and instead Reuven used the para and its plow and its instruments to plow on a mountaintop where the soil is much harder and much more rocky. In Nishba Kankan Chayiv, in that case, if the Kankan would break, then Shimon would be Chayiv. And the Mishnah only focuses on the Chiyuv or Ptor of Shimon, but it doesn't focus on the Chiyuv or Ptor of these workers. And we will discuss this in a moment when we see Taisus at the top of the Amid in Dina Masal Hechad Leishoni Ma Mishalim. And the Mishnah continues and discusses a similar din, Lodish Bekitnish Vidash Betfua Pata, that in a similar scenario, where Reuven rented his Para to Shimon, that Shimon was going to use the para in order to thresh beans, and instead Shimon used it to thresh grain, and Reuven's cow slipped and hurt itself, and Shimon is potter. However, in the opposite scenario of Lodish B'tfuah V'dash B'kitni Yischayiv, that if Shimon rented his cow in order to thresh his tfuah and his grain, and instead he used it in order to thresh his beans, then if the para slips and it hurts itself, then Shimon would be chayiv. And the Mishnah explains the reason, because beans are very slippery, and therefore if Reuven originally made up with Shimon that Shimon would use the animal in order to thresh beans, then certainly it's not a problem to go and thresh grain because it's easier to do so and the animal is not at much risk. However, if he made up originally that Shimon will go and use this para in order to thresh grain, then if Shimon goes against the intent and he goes and uses the animal in order to thresh beans, then Shimon will be chayiv since he went and used the animal for something that was more dangerous, and of course it's slipperier to thresh beans, and therefore Shimon will be chayiv. And the Gemara begins that although our Mishnah stated that Aseches Apar Lachish Bahar V'Charish Bebika in Nishba Kankan Netz Pata, and the Gemara feels that although Shimon will be Pata, as Shimon kept to the terms of the agreement, and although he used this animal in order to plow in a valley, but Lemaisa, that is certainly part of the agreement, since Reuven agreed that you could plow in a mountain, so Kal V'Chaymer that he agreed that you could use the animal to plow in a valley. And the Gemara feels that the only reason why all the people will be Pata is because Shimon, of course, is Pata, because that was part of the agreement, and the workers were workers of Reuven, and therefore certainly they're going to be Pata as well. However, the Gemara feels that even in a case where Shimon kept to the original agreement, however, if there would be hired workers and they weren't Reuven's workers, then one of these two workers should be responsible for the damage that occurred to the Kankan. And Rav Papa says, the Nokar Pasha Mishalim, the one that was leading the animal and was steering the animal with the goad, would be Chayiv. As Rashi states, V'hechad Loishoni V'ein Lebala Par L'Tvaya L'Klum, and therefore certainly Reuven can't be Taveya anything from Shimon. However, V'elu Shoyi Pulasai, the ones that were working for Shimon, Hamanik Va'ichiz Yated, the one who was leading the animal and the one that was holding onto the peg, Schirim Hayu, they were hired laborers, Ezmen Peshea Bishvir Sakankan, which one do we consider that they were negligent and that's why the Kankan broke? And as we saw, the Gemara stated, Rav Papa said, the Dokar Pasha, Parsha, and as Rashi says, Mardeya, the goad, whom Mishalim, he is the one that will pay, shall like Kivan as Hapar Yofa, as he didn't direct the par properly, Validei She'ivis HaShashur, Shalma'ana, Nishba Kankan, and because the par went off the road and went in the wrong direction, that's why the Kankan broke, and therefore is Chayiv. However, the Gemara continues, Rav Shishi Breda Rav Idi Amar, the Nakan Manu Mishalim, Rav Shishi Breda Rav Idi holds that the worker that's working in the back of the animal and by the plow and is making sure to push the plow into the ground, that is the one that's going to be chayiv. And as Rashi says, the nakam mona kankan mishalim shehemek yosim midai ba'aretz, because he pushed it too far into the ground and therefore it broke, and therefore he was pesheya. And the Gemara tells of the hilchos of the nakam mona mishalim, and the halacha is that the back worker that was holding on to the metal peg of the plow is going to be chayiv. And as Rashi says, that if the plow wouldn't have been too deep into the ground, that even if the worker at the front of the animal would have led the animal in the wrong direction, that wouldn't have caused the plow to break, and therefore the back worker is going to be solely responsible. However, the Gemara qualifies the halacha and states, "V'yiduchta d'mechaska gundri tavayo mishalmin," if the area that Shimon went to plow has a bunch of rocks and stones and granite, then both the front and the back worker would have to pay, and they would split the amount of the damages and pay back Reuven. Rashi explains, "V'yidim mechaska begundri shayadua lahem bahar shemayla avonim v'tzumah v'troshim," that the workers knew that this mountain has a lot of stones and hard rocks and ditches, that they both should have been much more careful, and it would even if the driver and the one that's guiding the animal makes a small mistake, then the plow will break, and there's a suffix as to who caused the actual damage, and therefore they both have to pay an equal share of the damages. If there's a suffix as to who's going to be chayiv and who actually caused the damage, then we don't pass like sumchus that moment little b'safik is chokin. We pass like the rabbanon that amoytz mechaber all of a raya, and therefore neither of these workers should be chayiv. And as Taisa says, we have a suffik, have a shneim peturin el nirli, and therefore Taisa explains the hachas shneim pashu, that really over here both workers were peshia kivin the mechaska begundri who nishba moed bekal. Therefore they know that this plow will break very easily. And each one of them should have been careful and made sure that the friend was doing their job properly. And since he didn't warn his friend, therefore it's considered that he was peshia as well. And therefore Taisus holds that it's not a suffix as to who caused the damage, and both of them caused the damage evenly, and therefore they shared liability evenly. And before we continue, let's point out the top Taisus Amin Diva Maskal Hechad Leishoni Ma Mishalim, where Taisus is been Taima Hechad Leishoni Nami, that Lachari, even in a case where Shimon made a change to the agreement, and instead of plowing in a valley, he plowed on a mountaintop. Lachari, why is it that Shimon is going to be chayiv, and Lachari, the worker should be chayiv, and why in the Gemara is, V'tiboyi Nami Ma Mishalim, and the Gemara should ask, which one of these two workers should be chayiv? And Ayin Taisis, how he explains our Gemara. And the Gemara continues, Amr Rabbeichan states, Hamecha par l'chaveroi, if Reuven sells a par to Shimon, va'amaloi, and Reuven tells Shimon, parzu nakonasi, you should know that this cow is very wild and it shtoises other animals, or nashkonasi, or bites other animals, or batonasi, or kicks, or raftsonasi, it lays down suddenly, and it lays down on top of Kalim, and it ruins Kalim, va'amalechad, and then after Shimon bought it, he realizes that one of these mumen were actually true, misnafu bein mumen. However, Reuven mentioned all the mumen together in one laundry list, and therefore the Mishnah teaches us harezeh mechach tois, that Shimon can claim that it's a mechach tois, as he can tainer that since you mentioned it all in one laundry list, and I looked into a couple of these items, and I realized that they weren't true, so I just thought that you're trying to remove all your liabilities, and I figured that you were just trying to make sure that if any of these were true, that I wouldn't have any claim against you. But l'maisa, once I bought it, I realized that one of these issues were really true, and it was a mum, and for example, this par was nachonis, and I didn't want to buy a par that was nachonis, and therefore it would be considered a mechach tais. And as Rashi explains, that one of these mumen actually were in this animal, and those were not in this animal, and this animal did not have those mumen, as since Shimon realized that the rest of the mumen were not true, and therefore he thought that Reuven was lying about all, and the only reason why he mentioned any of these mumen is in order they shouldn't have any liabilities, and I wouldn't have any claims against him if I had any of those mumen, and therefore it's a mechach tais, because Shimon really bought this not realizing that this animal had any mumen. Rabbi Yechon continues that however mum zeh or mum achar, that if Reuven tells Shimon that this animal has a specific mum, and he also says that there are other mumen, Reuven Reuven didn't specify what those mumim were, and then Shimon bought the animal and he found that original mum that Reuven specified, but Shimon did not even bother checking for that mum, so in zeh mechach tois, then Shimon cannot claim it's a mechach tois. And as Rashi points out, mum zeh mum achas shepirish loy shem oisem mum levadai va'omalei mum zeh boy va'oy mum achirim in zeh mechach tois the kim da oisem mum hiskalei levadai. As since he only specified one specific mum, then boy hoy loy libdai, then Shimon should have at least taken that seriously and made sure to check for that mum, especially since Shimon cared about that mum. Since Shimon didn't check for that mum, therefore Shimon doesn't have a claim for a mechach tois. And the Gemara continues, Tani Nami Hachi, that this din that Rabbi Yechanan just brought is also found in the Braisa, as the Braisa teaches us, Hamecha Shifcha Chaveri, if Reuven sells Shimon a Shifcha, Va'omaloi, and Reuven tells Shimon, Shifcha Zu Shaiti, this Shifcha is a fool, Nichbasi, she has epilepsy and she has seizures, Mishumemasi, or she's crazy, Va'oi Bumumechad, and one of these mum were actually true, Usnafoi Bein a Mumin, however, Reuven specified this mum together with the other mumin, and this Shifcha didn't have those other mumin, so I raise a Mechach Tois, then Shimon could say to Reuven, then since I didn't see the other mumin, therefore I thought you were lying, and I thought that she didn't have any of the mumin, and Lemaisa makbid on this mum, and therefore it's a Mechach Tois. However, the Braisa continues, Mum Zeh Umum Acher, if Reuven specifically tells Shimon that this Shifcha has a specific mum, and then he says that he also has other mumin, but he doesn't specify those mumin, and he just makes a general statement, then in that case, by the fact that Shimon ignored that Reuven told him that it was a specific mum, and he didn't actually check it out, aims at Mechach Tois, then Shimon can no longer claim that it's a Mechach Tois. And the Gemara continues and discusses the ratio of the Braisa, where the Braisa stated that if Reuven told Shimon that the Shifcha is a Shoita, Nichbis, and Meshum Emes, then if she only had one of those mumin, then Shimon could taina that I didn't think any of the mumin were true, and therefore it's considered a Mechach Tois. However, Omele Rab Achabrid Rav Lavashi, Hoy Bakala Mumin Alo Mau, what would it then be if after Shimon bought the Shifcha, he actually found out that she had one of the mumin, but she also has the other mumin as well? And as Rashi explains, that Shimon is only makbid on one of these mumin, and he comes to Bezdin and he claims, since you gave me a laundry list of different mumin, I thought that you were telling me certain things that she has and certain things that she really doesn't have. And if I would have known that this mum is one of the mumin that she actually has, I wouldn't have bought her. My, what is the din? Can he claim it's a Mechach Tois? And the Gemara tells us, that this was taught to me in the name of Rava, if she had all these mumin, then Shimon cannot claim it's a Mechach Tois. As Lamai said, the only time that Shimon could claim it's a Mechach Tois is if he checked into some of the laundry list and he saw that some of them weren't true, then he can claim that I didn't think any of them were true, and therefore I bought it without checking out for that specific mum. However, in the case where he comes and he says that I didn't check it out at all, and I just thought that Reuven was giving me a laundry list of different mumin, but really she doesn't have all of these mumin, and that's why I bought the Shifcha, but Lemaisa, I'm really makbid that she has this one mum, and therefore I want to claim a Mechach Tois. Certainly it's not considered a Mechach Tois, and he can't renege on the deal. And we continue with the new Mishnah, and the Mishnah states, that if Reuven rents a donkey to Shimon in order that Shimon should use it to transport wheat, and instead Shimon used the donkey to transport barley, then if the donkey is damaged because it was carrying this tefuah, then Shimon will be chayiv. And the Mishnah continues, if Reuven and Shimon agreed that Shimon will use the animal to carry grain, and instead Shimon used the animal to transport straw, then once again the Mishnah teaches us that if this animal is damaged because it was carrying the straw, then Shimon will be chayiv. And Rashi points out that so'irin, barley, is lighter than wheat, and certainly we know that straw is lighter than grain, and therefore l'chayra, why should it be that Shimon is chayiv? As l'chayra, certainly if Reuven and Shimon agreed that Shimon will transport wheat, which is heavier, then certainly Reuven would agree that Shimon can transport barley, and similarly if Reuven agreed that Shimon can transport tefuah, then certainly Reuven agreed that Shimon can transport straw, which is lighter. And the Gemara will have two different ways to understand our Mishnah, and we will see that there's a machlekes between Abaya and Rava, and Rashi explains our Mishnah according to the version of Abaya and according to the version of the girsa that we have in our Mishnah, that the Mishnah states that the reason why Shimon is chayiv is mipnei she'nefach kosher kemasoi, and when dealing with a donkey that's carrying a load, we don't necessarily look at the actual weight of the item that he's carrying, and instead we look at the volume and the size of the item that he's carrying. And as we will see as we continue with the Mishnah, that the normal load that a donkey can carry is something called the lesach, which is a measurement of volume, which is 15 sar, or half a kor. Even if Reuven would rent out his donkey to Shimon, then really Shimon could only use use this animal in order to carry one less of tuah or 15 saw. However, there's acceptable variance and a tolerance that he could increase that amount as long as it's less than 1/30, and he adds on less than 3 kav. However, once Shimon would add on 3 kav of chitin, then Shimon would be chayiv, even though Shimon made up with Reuven that he would be transporting wheat, as l'maisa he overloaded this animal by adding on more than 3.3% of the actual load that this animal could carry. And we know that there's 6 kav in his saw, and there's 15 saw in a lesech, meaning that there's 90 kav in a lesech, and therefore, once you put 3 extra kav of volume onto this animal, that is over the acceptable variance and tolerance that this animal could hold, and it's considered that you overloaded this animal, and that's why you're going to be chayiv. Therefore, according to Abaya, the chiddush of the Mishnah is that not only is the din that if Reuven rents an animal to Shimon in order to carry chitin, that if Shimon overloads the animal by 3%, that Shimon would be chayiv, but even if Shimon agreed with Reuven that he would use the animal to transport wheat, and instead Shimon used the animal to transport barley, and barley is lighter, so one may have thought that even though you overloaded this animal, but that is only a problem if you overloaded it with chitin, because not only is it a lot of volume, but it's also a heavier package. However, b'degei yisurin, maybe the only way that he'll be chayiv is only if he overloads it even more than 3 kav. As Rashi says, b'negei yisurin, maybe you would have to overload it by 6 kav and by 1 saw, and therefore the Mishnah teaches us that Shimon is still chayiv, as it's not based on weight, and it's based on volume, and a chamor could only carry one lesach of tvua, and if you overload it by adding on to the lesach 3 kav, then even though you added on sirim, and even though the total weight is still less than the normal weight of chitin that this animal could carry, however, l'maisa, the volume is still too much, and therefore Shimon is going to be chayiv. And let's continue with the Mishnah, and we will continue to explain the Mishnah according to the Shita of Abaya, and the Mishnah states, l'havi lesach chitin, that if Reuven rents his animal to Shimon in order to transport a load of wheat, v'hevi lesach sarin, and Shimon uses this donkey in order to transport a lesach of barley, and then the chamor gets damaged or dies, then pato, then Shimon is pato, as certainly he didn't do anything wrong, because if Reuven agreed that Shimon can transport wheat, which is heavier, then certainly he agreed that Shimon can transport barley, which is lighter, then moisev amasoy chayiv, and the Mishnah tells us, if you add on to that package, and you add on 3 kav, then you chayiv, and this is almost a repeat of the first din of the Mishnah, and the Mishnah now continues and tells us the din, the kama yosef amasoy v'hei chayiv, and what is the shear that Shimon has to add on to this package in order for Shimon to be chayiv? Simchas amim mishum rameya, and Simchas teaches us in the name rameya, so legomol shloish shekab l'chamar, that doesn't make a difference what you're carrying, but the shear would be that if you add on an extra saw for a camel, or an extra 3 kav for a chamar, it doesn't make a difference if you're carrying a lighter package or a heavier package, in all cases you would be chayiv. And ayin Rashi, by the fact that the Gemara tells us that the excess amount that you're allowed to put onto a gomel is anything that's less than a saw, but once you add on a saw onto a camel, that's considered that you overloaded the camel and you went over the acceptable variance and tolerance. But since we already explained that the general amount that you're allowed to place on a chamar is a lesach, which is 15 saw, and 3 kav is 1/30 of that amount, therefore b'negei a gomel, we use the same proportion, and since the tolerance is a saw, so we see that 30 times that amount is the standard amount that a gomel could carry, and therefore we see that a standard gomel could carry 30 saw, or the volume of one core. Once someone adds on 1/30 that, or one additional saw, then if the animal gets damaged, then they will be chayiv because they overloaded the animal as they went over the 1/30 tolerance. And the Gemara begins and brings the machlekes between Abai and Rava as to how to learn a Mishnah. As Itma, we have learned Abai Omar Kosha Kamasu Tnan, that the proper gears in the Mishnah is that once you have the same amount of bulk of barley or of wheat, it is always difficult for a donkey to carry that load. And even though now that Shimon rented this donkey for Reuven, and he loaded up with one lesach of volume of barley plus 3 kav, and even though he loaded up with barley and not with wheat, he is still going to be chayiv, as the Gemara will explain in a moment. However, Rava Amar Kasher L'Maaseh Yitran, and Rava explains that the Mishnah is talking about a case where Shimon had a right to load up the donkey with one lesach of chitin, and instead Shimon loaded up the donkey with too much barley, and he placed on the donkey one lesach of barley plus lost an extra 6 kav, meaning instead of 15 saw, he placed 16 saw of barley on the animal, and at this point there was too much volume and too much weight on the animal, and that is why the animal was damaged, and that is why Shimon was chayiv. But in a chenami, if Shimon would only put onto the donkey one lesach and 3 kav of barley, then Shimon would be potter, because Shimon ultimately put on barley, which is lighter than wheat, and even though if Shimon would have placed one lesach and 3 kav of wheat onto the donkey, he would be chayiv. However, since barley is lighter, so he would not be chayiv in that scenario. And the Gemara now explains the machlekes between Abaye and Rava. Abaye Omer Kosher Kemaser Tnan, that Abaye learned that it doesn't make a difference what type of product a donkey is carrying, and the maximum volume that donkey could carry is one lesach of wheat or a barley. As the Gemara explains, Nifcha Ki Tikla, that the volume that an animal carries is just as hard as carrying a lot of weight, and the Imais of Shleisha Kabin Chayiv, and therefore, even if Shimon would only add on 3 kav of barley, and because the animal is now overloaded as it's carrying one lesach plus 3 kav, and the animal would be injured or if it would die, then Shimon would be chayiv and would be responsible. However, Rava Amar Kasha L'Masutnan, Rava learns that the reason why Shimon is chayiv is because he put on extra barley onto the donkey that was even more than the standard that he would put on if it was actually wheat. As Tikla Ki Tikla, Rava also looks at the weight of the item that the donkey is carrying, and when Shimon loads onto the animal a lesach and 6 kav or 16 saw of barley, that is actually the same weight of 15 kav or one lesach of chitin. And really, just like a donkey would not have a problem of carrying one lesach of wheat, it shouldn't really have a problem of carrying 16 saw of barley. However, v'nifcha habitasis, by the fact that there's extra volume of barley on the animal and the 6 kav extra volume over a lesach, that actually causes the donkey to have difficulty carrying this load. Therefore, if the animal either gets injured or dies based on carrying this load, so Shimon would be chayiv. But in Chenami, according to Rava, if this animal was only carrying one lesach and 3 kav of barley, then Shimon would not be chayiv, as ultimately barley doesn't have the same shear of chitin, since barley is lighter than wheat. Before we continue, let's go back to our Mishnah and explain the Mishnah according to Shitas Rava. And the Mishnah states, Haseches Hachamal Havi Aleh Chitin Vehevi Aleh Sarin, that if Shimon rented a donkey from Reuven in order to transport wheat, and instead Shimon transported barley, and he transported one lesach of barley plus 6 kav of barley, meaning an extra saw, then if the donkey is damaged or he dies, then Shimon will be chayiv. And the reason is Mepnei Nefech Kasha L'Masoi. And the Mishnah continued with the middle case, and the Mishnah states L'Havi Lesach Chitin V'Havi Lesach Sarin Pato, that if Shimon rented a donkey from Reuven, and they agreed that Shimon would transport wheat, and as we already explained, the maximum volume of wheat that a chamor could carry is one lesach, and once you add 3 kav, then if the chamor dies or gets damaged, then the renter would be chayiv. However, if Shimon changes the terms, and instead of transporting wheat, he transports barley, however, Shimon only transports one lesach plus 3 kav, in that case, Shimon will be pata, as even though the volume is the same as chitin, but ultimately it's still lighter than chitin, and therefore Shimon will be pata, as it can't be that the reason why the chamor was damaged or died was based on him carrying a lesach and 3 kav of barley. And finally, the Mishnah has a third part, and as we will see in the Gemara will explain, according to Rava, when the Mishnah states, "Bekama Yosef al-Masoi v'hechayiv," Mishnah is speaking about a standard scenario where Shimon rented a donkey from Reuven, and he made up that he will go and transport chitin, and Lemaisi actually transported chitin, and the Mishnah wants to know, at one point, is the chamor considered overloaded, and it's not considered an acceptable variance, and therefore the renter would be chayiv. And the Mishnah taught us Simchas Oim Mishum Rameya Saw the Gamal Shloisha Kabin L'Chamor. If you overload a camel by a saw, or if you overload a chamor by 3 kav, then you'd be chayiv. And as we explained, that the standard load that a camel could carry is 30 times more than one saw, which is of course one kor. And the standard amount of weight that a donkey could carry is 30 times the amount of 3 kav, which is of course one lesach or 15 saw. The Gemara continues and tries to bring a raya to the sheet of Abaye, from the second case of our Mishnah. As time we learned in our Mishnah, if Reuven rented a kamar to Shimon, lahavi lesach chitin, in order to transport a lesach of wheat, vehavi lesach sarin, and instead Shimon transported a lesach of sarin, potter, then Shimon will be potter, because lemaisa, if Reuven allowed Shimon to use this kamar in order to transport chitin, then certainly he allowed him to use this kamar in order to transport sarin, since sarin is lighter than chitin. However, the Mishnah continued, bim hoisva masoy chayiv, that if Shimon added on to the load of barley onto the donkey, then it'll be chayiv, and my lav shleishes kabin, the lechir we're talking about adding on the same amount that he would have added on to a lesser chitin, which is 3 kav, and therefore by sarin he also added on 3 kav, and even so we said that you're going to be chayiv, which is like the shita of abaya, that there's no difference between chitin and sarin. And even though barley is lighter than wheat, but once you overload the donkey with the same volume as you would by wheat, which is 3 kavin, then you'd be chayiv even by sarin, because ultimately a chamar cannot carry a volume that's more than 1 lesach and 3 kav. And lechur is exactly like a shita of abaya. And the Gemara answers loy that that's not the way to understand our Mishnah. And the Gemara explains that when the Mishnah stated in hoisva hansay chayiv, it means that benegay barley you added on a saw and you added on 6 kav. And even though if you would have been carrying and transporting wheat, if you added on only 3 kav, you'd already be chayiv. However, benegay sarin, since it's lighter than wheat, the only way that Shimon will be chayiv is if he added on 6 kav or he added on 1 saw, as we explained, and therefore the Mishnah could work out lefi Rava as well. And the Gemara continues and asks, V'alok Tani, that how can you tell me that the Mishnah means to say that you added on a saw of barley, but right after this middle case of the Mishnah continued and stated, V'kama yosef ha-masoy v'ei chayiv, and how much you have to increase onto your load, and Shimon will be chayiv, Sumchus oim Mishum Rameya, and Sumchus stated in the name of Rameya, saw l'gamol, that if you're dealing with a camel, then you have to add on a saw. However, shloisha kav l'chamar, when you're dealing with a donkey, all you have to add on, and you'll be chayiv, would be 3 kav, and its mashman is no difference between wheat and barley, and the same then applies, and once you add on 3 kav, you would be chayiv. And l'chur, this clause of the Mishnah is going back as an explanation of the second case of the Mishnah, and l'chur, this last piece of the Mishnah seems to be clarifying the middle case of the Mishnah, and when the Mishnah stated in Moisav HaMasei Chayiv, the Mishnah is telling us that how much is that taisis? That is 3 kav, and it doesn't make a difference if it's chitin or sarin. And the Mishnah seems to be clearly like Abaya and not like Rava. And the Gemara answers, Hachi Kama, that in the Chanami, the last piece of the Mishnah is not actually going back on the middle case of the Mishnah, and the last part of the Mishnah is actually a new clause, and it's a definition as to when we consider that an animal is overloaded. And as the Gemara now explains, that Hachi Kama, Hechad Leishoni, Chitin Vehevi Chitin, Sarin Vehevi Sarin, where Shimon rented an animal from Reuven and he didn't change from what they originally made up, and in the scenario where Shimon made up with Reuven that he will be transporting chitin, he actually transported wheat, and the case where they made up that Shimon will be transporting barley, Shimon actually transported barley. And the Mishnah then asks, Kama Yosef HaMasoy Ve'Chayiv, at what point do we consider that the animal was overloaded and therefore Shimon will be chayiv? And the Mishnah explains, Sumchas Oyim Mishum Rameya Saw L'Gamol Shloisha Kav L'Chamar, that since the standard capacity of a camel is 30 saw, therefore if you overburden it and you overload it by 1/30th and you add on 1 extra saw, then if the camel gets injured or dies because of the load, so you'd be chayiv because you overburden it and overloaded it. And similarly, a donkey can carry a load of 1 lesach or 15 saw, and if you overburden it and add on 3 kav when you're dealing with chitin, then that's considered they overburden it and you'd be chayiv. And since barley is lighter than wheat, so a donkey can really carry a lesach and 3 kav of barley, and therefore if you overburden it by adding an extra 3 kav, and Shimon places a package of barley onto a donkey that's volume is 1 lesach and 6 kav or 16 saw, then at that point, if the donkey either gets injured or dies, then Shimon will be chayiv. And the Gemara continues, Tashma will bring a raya from a brisa to the shita of Rava and against Abaya, as the brisa states, L'havi lesach chitin, that if Shimon rented a donkey from Reuven in order to transport 1 lesach of wheat, and we continue on that peyom beis, v'hevi sheish esrei sarim, and instead Shimon used the donkey in order to transport 16 saw of barley, which is of course 1 saw more than the standard, and the brisa teaches us that if the donkey either gets injured or dies, then chayiv, then Shimon would be chayiv, and it's mashma hashleishes kavim pata. If Shimon only added on an extra 3 kava barley, then he'd be pata, which is mashma like Rava, and not like Abaya, as Abaya held that there is no difference between wheat and barley, and as long as you can have a volume of 1 lesach and 3 kav, then Shimon would be chayiv. And this brisa clearly seems to say that the only way that Shimon would be chayiv is if he adds on 6 extra kav or 1 saw onto the donkey. Before we continue with the Teres of the Gemara, let us explain that there are 3 different ways that they used to measure a volume of tefuah when they would sell it to another person. There was one measurement called Kedusha, and when someone would buy a lesach of tefuah, they would actually add on a heaping pile of tefuah, and they would give a little extra in order to make sure that the person got his money's worth, and that was the most generous way to sell produce. Middle way to sell produce or to sell wheat was tefufa, and that way they also added on a little bit extra, but it was almost an exact share of the measurement that the buyer wanted. And the third way is called mechuka, and the seller would scrape off all of the excess tefuah or grain or produce, and this way the buyer would actually get a smaller measurement. And let us see our Gemara, and the Gemara now answers Tegum Abaya b'mechikasa, that Abaya explains that when the Braisa stated that instead of Shimon placing 1 lesach of chitin onto this animal, he actually placed 16 saw of barley onto the animal, therefore is chayiv, it doesn't mean that he actually placed an extra saw, but he actually placed 16 saw of barley that was machuk, and that was leveled off, and that actually adds up to 15 saw plus 3 kav, and that is exactly a lesach and 3 kav. And in the Chanami, the Bryce is telling us the same din of Abaya, that even though barley is lighter than wheat, but once you go and you put onto the animal an excess burning of 15 saw, which is 1 lesach, and you add on 3 kav, then if the animal is damaged because of the extra weight, or the animal dies, then Shimon would be chayiv. The Gemara continues, Tanur Abada, we learned to the Bryce, and the Braisa now discusses the different amounts that are considered overburdening of different types of items, as Kav L'Kasav, that a person who carries items for someone and is hired by an employer to carry items can generally carry 30 Kav, and of course 6 Kav equals 1 Saw, and therefore a normal person can carry 5 Saw, and therefore if an employer hires a person to carry a package for him and he tells him he's giving him 30 Saw, and instead he places an extra Kav onto the load, and now the person gets damaged or is injured, then the employer would be chayiv for those damages. And Ayin Rashi, who points out that the Gemara will ask in a moment, the L'chayir, since a person is a bardas, so if the person felt that it was too much of a burden, then he should have put it down, and why is the employer ultimately chayiv? And the Gemara will explain this in a moment. And the Braisa continues, Adriv la Reva, that if someone places an extra lesach onto a small ship, that is 1/30 more than the standard that the ship could carry, and if the ship has a problem and the ship capsizes, for example, then the one that overloaded the ship would be chayiv. And we see that the standard cargo that a small ship could carry is 30 lesach, which is of course 15 kor. And if you add on 1/30 to that boat, which is 1 lesach, then you'd be chayiv. The Braisa continues, kor l'sfina, and if you add on to an average size ship 1 extra kor, then you'd also be chayiv, as the standard cargo that a standard ship could carry is 30 kor, and therefore if you add on 1 extra kor, you'd be chayiv for overburdening the ship. In addition, shleishes kor and leburnik doyla, if you have a large ship, then if you add on 3 kor, that is considered that you overloaded it, as the standard cargo that a large ship could carry is 90 kor, and if you add on an extra 1/30 to that burden, which is, of course, 3 extra kor, then you'd be chayiv. And the Gemara continues, Amamah, we just stated in the Braisa, kav l'kasav, that since the maximum amount that a person can carry is 30 kav, so if you add on 1 extra kav, which is 1/30, then if the person gets damaged, then you'd be chayiv. And the Gemara is, im isad le'motzi bei bardasu l'shadyo, that l'chayir, if he can't carry it, he's a bardas, and therefore he should throw the package off of his back, and by the fact that he didn't do that, so he causes injuries, and why should a person that hired him be chayiv? And the Gemara now brings 3 terutzim, Amabaya, Abaya explains, b'shechavtu l'alto, that we're talking about a scenario where the person that was carrying the burden did not know that the employer added into the amount, and he added in an extra kav, and the worker collapsed immediately upon this burden being placed on his shoulders, and therefore he didn't have time to react, and that's why the employer is chayiv. But in a chanami, if he put it onto his shoulders and he realized that was too heavy and he didn't remove the package from his own shoulders, then the employer would not be chayiv. However, Rava states, really we could talk about a case where the person actually kept the burden on him for longer, and he actually was able to withstand the burden, and now he comes back to the owner, and he says, I actually weighed the package, and you didn't give me 30 kav like you told me you were going to give me, and you actually added on an extra kav, and carried for you 31 kav, and leitzricha ala agri yaseira, and the worker says to his employer that you owe me extra money because you added on an extra kav, and lefidus teretz of rabba, the brice has nothing to do with damages, and the brice is telling us that once you add on an extra kav, then you owe an extra wage, and similarly, b'negiyah the ships, if you add on extra baggage, then the person that hired the ship or rented the ship would be chayiv to pay for the extra baggage and for the extra cargo. And finally, the Gemara brings the third teretz of Ashi Amar, who sava chulshu denakale, that in the Chanami, we're talking about a case where the worker did not realize that the employer actually placed on him 31 kav, and he actually thought that it was 30 kav, and even though he felt that it was too heavy for him, he didn't take it off of his back, as he thought that he was just feeling weak, and that's why he thought that it was too heavy, but ultimately he thought that he could still carry it, since the employer told him that it's only 30 kav, and Lemaisa, once we see that it was actually 31 kav, therefore the employer will be chayiv to pay for his damages. And the Gemara continues and discusses the next part of the Braisa, as the Braisa stated, kor l'sfina, that an extra kor is the measurement that would be for a standard size sfina, and shleishis korin l'bruni gdela, if you have a large ship, and once you add on three kor, that is considered to be an unacceptable amount, and that would be considered overweight, and the person would be chayiv, and amra papa shma mina stam svinas bas tlos in kurin, and we see from here that a standard average size ship is a ship that could carry 30 kor of cargo, and l'may nafkamina l'mekach memka, and the nafkamina would be b'negeya, a transaction, and for example, if a buyer tells a seller that I want to buy an average ship from you, then the seller must deliver to the buyer a ship that could carry 30 kor, and if he delivers a ship that's less than 30 kor, then it would be considered a mekach tais. And we continue with the new Mishnah, kol umnin shemi sachar hein, that all umnin are considered shemi sachar, and Rashi explains that we're talking about umnin kablon and hamakablon le, last samlach b'tayim, that we're not talking about day laborers and people that are paid based on an hourly wage, but the Mishnah is referring to someone that is paid based on a job. And let's use an example of a dry cleaner, where a cleaner is paid based on a piece and not based on a specific time frame or the amount of time that it takes him to clean the item. And the Mishnah teaches us that if someone gives in an item of clothing to a launderer in order to clean that baguette for him, then during the time that the launderer has the baguette, then the launderer is considered a shem esacha, and certainly he's chayiv for pshia, but he's even going to be chayiv for gneiv v'aveda, just like a shem esacha. We'll see in the Gemara why he's considered a shem esacha, as l'chayra, this woman is only being paid to actually do the work that he's doing, and for example, to clean this garment, and he's not being paid to watch this item, so why would he be considered a shem esacha, and l'chayra, he should be a shem echinam. The Mishnah continues, v'kulin sha'amru tula shalcha v'havei mo'i shem echinam, that any woman that tells his client that you should come and take your item from me because it was completed, and he tells him that you should know, I won't hold back your item, even though you can't pay me at this moment, and I'll let you take your item and you'll pay me at a later point, then at that point, the woman is considered shem echinam, as he's not withholding the item for his schar, and therefore at this point, he's considered shem echinam, and he will no longer be chayiv for gneiv aveda, and will only be chayiv if his pesheya, and the Mishnah continues, shmarli v'eshmelcha shem esacha, that if Reuven says to Shimon that I will watch your item, and you should watch my item, then although Reuven is not paying Shimon, and Shimon is not paying Reuven an actual wage and actual money, however, Reuven is benefiting by the fact that Shimon is watching his item for him, and Shimon is benefiting by the fact that Reuven is watching his item for him, and therefore both Reuven and Shimon are considered shem esacha. The Mishnah continues, Shmar li, if Reuven tells Shimon that I want you to watch this item for me, but amalei, and Shimon says to Reuven, hanach lefanai, leave the item in front of me, so shem echinam, so Shimon is a shem echinam. And the Mishnah continues, hilvo al bashkin, if Reuven lends money to Shimon, and Reuven takes a mashkin in order to have collateral for the loan, so Reuven is considered shem esacha regarding that mashkin, and even though Reuven is not getting any physical money, any physical payment, but l'maisa Reuven has the schar mitzvah because he lent money to his friend, and of course that's a mitzvah. However, if Reuven lends money to Shimon and Reuven takes a mashkin, then Reuven is still a shem echinam, as he doesn't look at schar mitzvah as being considered a payment to Reuven. However, lo peiros shem esacha, if Reuven lends peiros to Shimon and Reuven takes a mashkin from Shimon, then Reuven is considered a shem esacha, as ultimately Shimon now has the peiros of Reuven, and these peiros were bound to rot at some point, and at some point Shimon will return the full full Peiris to Reuven, and at that point Reuven will have a benefit that he'll receive fresh Peiris. And since Reuven has a benefit from this loan, therefore Reuven is considered a Shoy Mesachar. And finally, the Mishnah teaches us, Abishol Oime, Abishol teaches us, Rishoy Adam Lahaskar Mashkoinish Oni Elias Pesik Mahilchalov, Mipteshu Kamesha Aveda, or as we will see the Gears of the Gemara, Rishoy Adam Lahaskar Mashkoinish Oni Elias Pechis Mahilchalov, Mipteshu Kamesha Aveda. And Abishol teaches us that if Reuven takes a Mashkin from Shimon, who's an Oni, then Reuven has a right to go and rent out this Mashkin of the Oni in order to make profits from this item, and then he'll take those profits and he'll use it to pay down the debt of the Oni, as that's considered Meshav Aveda. And even if the Oni didn't say that Reuven has permission to do so, Reuven still has permission to do so. And Lefita Gersa that we have in our Mishnah of Lias Paisikalov, Rashi says Lias Paisikalov Schar, that Reuven has a right to set a price for this item and to rent it out on behalf of the Oni. And as Rashi says, and by Reuven receiving income from this item, he would continually deduct that amount from the ultimate amount that Shimon owes him. And the Gemara begins, let us say our mission is not like Rameo. And the Gemara right now feels that there is no chiluk between an Uman who is a hired person and a Seicha and someone that rents an item from someone. The Tanya, as we learned the Braisa, Seicha Ketzim Mishalim, and we know the Psukim and Pashim Mishpatim speak about the dinim of a Shem Mechinim, a Shem Mesocha, and a Shoyal. However, the Torah doesn't tell us how to categorize a Seicha, and the Torah doesn't specify the halachas of a Seicha, and therefore we have a Shaila as to how to categorize a Seicha. And Rameo Oimek a Shem Mechinim, Rameo says that a Seicha is like a Shem Mechinim, as a Seicha is paying rent, and therefore he's not being paid to watch this item. However, Rabbi Yehuda Oimek a Shem Mesocha, Rabbi Yehuda says that a Seicha is considered like a Shem Mesocha, therefore if Shimon rents an item from Reuven, and then the item is stolen or lost, then Shimon will be chayiv as he's a Seicha, and a Seicha has a din like a Shem Mesocha, that's chayiv b'gnei v'aveda. And Rashi explains, since he has that anor that's by him, alpha pishinais and schapu lasai, and even though he pays for the right to use it, Shem Mesocha, who is still considered Shem Mesocha, the lawyer of Schar Havishol, as if he wouldn't pay rent and he wouldn't be paying for the right to use this item, then he would be considered Shoyal, which is called Anoshaloy and Bichai Bointin, Hashi Yavle Agra. However, now that he pays for the right to use it, Loy Havishol, Havishol Mesocha, he's not considered Shoyal, but he's still not considered Shem Mechinam, and he's still considered Shem Mesocha, he's Chayav Bignei Vaveda. However, as Rashi explains, Rameya says he has a din like a Shem Mechinam, the Kiyav Agra Melocha, as he paid rent in order to use this item, and he's not taking any wages in order to watch this item, therefore he's considered Shem Mechinam. And at this point, the Gemara feels that a worker is similar to a renter, that the reason why he has it in his rishus is because he's being paid to do work and to do something to this item, but he's not taking any schar in order to watch the item. The money that his client is paying him is for the work that he's performing and not to watch the item, and therefore in Gei Shmir he should be considered Shem Mechinam. And our Mishnah stated and our Mishnah is not going like the Shita Rameya. And of course, since the Klal is that Stam Mishnah is Rameya, therefore we would like that our Mishnah would fit in like Rameya. And the Gemara responds, I feel the tame Rameya. We could say our Mishnah is even going like the Shita Rameya, as by he I know the Kashavik Kula Alma of Ugly Day, Havilavai Shem Mesocha, that since this craftsman understands that this client has a choice as to where to bring his item and as to whom to use as his craftsman, and he chose that he will use him, therefore that's considered a major hana to the craftsman, and therefore he's considered Shem Mesocha Binagia Shmira, and he would be Chayib Bigneva Aveda. The Gemara continues, Ihochi, if this is actually a spur of why a person would be considered Shem Mesocha, and Lachir Lefira Meir, this should apply even to a Seicha, and Seicha Nami Bahi Anod, because Shavik Kula Alma, or Moigle the Day, Havalevay Shem Mesocha, that since Shimon realizes that Reuven could have rented this item to anyone, and instead he rented it to Shimon, therefore that's considered Hanot to Shimon, and it should be considered that Shimon is a Shem Mesocha, and he should be Chayib Bignei Vaveda, and therefore he can't be Mechalik between the case of a Seicha and the case of a Uman. And once again, we're back to the original question that Lachir, if Rameya says, Binagia Seicha, that a Seicha is considered like a Shem Mechinam, then Lachir, Rameya should say, Binagia Negei Uman, then he's also Roshay Mechidam, and therefore our Mishnah doesn't seem to be going like Rameya. And the Gemara continues, Ela Afilu Tim Rameya. Really, we could say our Mishnah is like Rameya, and although B'negei Secha, Rameya says that a Secha is like a Shay Mechidam, however, even Rameya would agree that an Uman is considered Shay Mesacha, and the reason is, Bahi Anah, the Kayavle Tvei Porto, Have Elevei Shay Mesacha, that since a craftsman charges a set fee, and it doesn't make a difference as to how much time it takes him to do the work, and certainly there will be some extra profit, and he doesn't charge the exact amount based on an hourly wage, therefore that itself is considered hanah for the Uman, and therefore even Rameya would agree that the Uman is considered Shem and Sachar. And the Gemara continues and asks that Seichinami Mila Eskinan the Kamashvle Tfei Porta, that even Benegeya, the din of a Seicha, Rameya gave us a blanket statement and said that all cases of a Seicha, the Seicha is considered Shem and Chinam, and Lechari Lefidus Svarah, Rameya should have been Mechalik and should have stated that if Shimon rented an item from Reuven, and Reuven gave Shimon a discounted rent, and in that case, Shimon did have a special hanah, and Lechir, in that case, Shimon should be classified as a Shem Esacha, and Ramey just said Stama that every Seicha is considered like a Shem Echinam, and therefore we see that this Svara is not a reason to say that someone becomes a Shem Esacha, and we're back to our original question, that it seems that our Mishnah is not going like Tashita Rameya, as Rameya said, a Seicha is like a Shem Echinam, and Lemaisa, in our Mishnah, we said that the Uman is considered like a Shem Esacha, and the Gemara continues, Ela Filu Tim Rameya, really we could say our Mishnah is going like Tashita Rameya, and even though B'negeya Seicha, Rameya holds that he's considered like a Shem Echinam, however, even Rameya agrees that an Uman is considered a Shem Esacha, and by here now, the toughest lad agree, the late boy Lemelu Meper Kazuze, have a le Shem Esacha, that since an Uman has a special advantage that he could hold on to the item of his client until the client pays him, and the Uman doesn't have to run after his client in order to be paid, and he could wait patiently until the client comes to pick up his item, therefore, that is considered extra enough for the Uman, and because of that, the Uman is considered Shem Esacha, and when he's watching this item, it's actually a benefit to him to actually have this item by him, because that will cause that the owner and the client will come and pay for the item and pay for his work. And this teretz of the Gemara was mechale between a seicha and an uman. However, the Gemara continues, iba isemo, or if you want, I could tell you that there is really no chilut between an uman and a seicha. And really, just like Rameya stated that a seicha is k'shem mechinam, in our Mishnah we should state that an uman is like a shem mechinam. And by the fact that we said in our Mishnah that uman shem esacha, then really we should see that a Mishnah is not going like Rameya. However, Zokta Gemara, Kedemachlev Rav Bavua Vitani, that Rav Bavua actually switched around the Brisa, and he learned the Brisa exactly the opposite, that when the Brisa had a Shaila as to how to categorize a Seicha, the Brisa stated, Seicha, Ketem Mishalim, Rameya Oimek, Hashem Esacha, Rameya is actually of the opinion that a Seicha is considered like Hashem Esacha, and Rabbi Huda Oimek, Hashem Echinam, and therefore a Mishnah is actually going like Rameya, that there is no chil between a Seicha and an Uman, and both are considered like a Hashem Esacha, and Yichai B'gnei V'Aveda, and Enechinami, our Stam Mishnah is going like Rameya, and everything works out perfectly, and we will stop over here.